Welcome to Bonzek House Online Worship. Everyone, today we will be talking about, learning about, on the topic of prayer. Where do we receive the power to pray? Not only just prayer in general, but prayer with power and boldness. I need that in my life. Don't you? Don't you want that in your life as well? We all do. And that's what we're going to focus on today, with the grace of Jesus Christ. A friend of mine and I were talking this past week, and he told me, "Hey, Victor, watch what you pray for." I said, "How come?" He said, "Well, when I pray for strength, guess what I got?" "What?" I said. He responded, "When I pray for strength, God sent me trials and tribulations." And by that, what my friend meant was, when you pray for something like strength, God doesn't just give you, poof, there you go, here's strength for you. Instead, God sends trials, tribulations, obstacles, hardship, through which we gain strength. Does that make sense to you? We will be learning about the power of prayer. How do we get it? How do we apply it in our lives? In Book of Acts, chapter 4, let me give you the background before we receive the word. Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, upon Jesus' resurrection, he gave him the power of the Holy Spirit. And he commended them, "You will continue on with what I began teaching. You will continue on with what I began doing, healing, teaching, preaching, bringing the kingdom of Jesus on earth." Okay, now, so they went and they healed this man at the temple court. And they began preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And for that, they got arrested by the chief priests and the rulers of Jerusalem. And they were told, instructed, commanded, stop talking about Jesus. Stop performing miracles in the name of Jesus. Stop healing people in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Stop doing all these things. And they made threats. They said, if you don't stop, if you keep on doing all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, we are going to arrest you, we are going to torture you, and we just might even kill you. So they were facing danger. The disciples were facing opposition, persecution, incarceration, and they were afraid. So we get to this portion in chapter 4. Before we receive it, would you just pray with me? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that you open our eyes that we may see you. We pray that you open our ears that we may hear you. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you open our minds that we may conceive you in our souls. Now, teach us how to pray with power, for we ask it in your name. Amen. So let's receive the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord coming to us from Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, here is the theme and the goal of this message. The power of prayer is spelled P-R-A-Y. The power of prayer is given to us by the grace of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit's presence abiding in us. And that power of prayer is spelled, I came up with this acronym, P-R-A-Y, so that you may easily remember how to gain the power of prayer and how to utilize and apply the power of prayer. And you can do all this to the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's get to the first letter, P. The power of prayer is spelled, P stands for participate. Please write that word, participate. Participate in what? With whom? Participate with the people. Participate with the people. Let's look at chapter 3, 23. Sorry, chapter 4, verse 23. After they're being released from the prison by the rulers of Jerusalem and the chief priests, what did they do? They went back to their own. The Bible says they went back to their own people. That Greek word there is a distinct or their own kind or of one another or one accord. Meaning, they went back to the people. They participated in prayer, not by themselves, but with the people of God. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, what were the disciples doing? What were the followers of Jesus Christ doing before being arrested? They were in one place. And guess what they're doing? They're participating with the people in the act of prayer. They were praying fervently together. So we participate with the people. And they also said they raised their voices together, right? They raised their voices together and began praying to the sovereign God. They participate with the people. They participate in one voice, in one accord. Friends, first and foremost, the power of prayer is given to us as the collective body of Christ. Let me put this this way. The power of prayer is not given to a person, but to the people. The power of prayer is not given to a person, but it is given to the people, the collective body of Christ, the church together as the people of God. Now, you might be saying, hang on here. Does that mean we don't pray alone? Does that mean we don't pray individually? Does that mean we don't pray by ourselves? Of course it does mean we are able, we should pray on our own. But praying alone is only an extension, only an application of a bigger gift. The bigger gift is this, prayer. The power of prayer is given to the people, the church. Well, let me prove it to you from the very words of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. Jesus speaking. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Let's read verse 20 together. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. You see, Jesus is giving this promise, the power of prayer. Whenever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. Again, does that mean Jesus is not with me when I'm alone? Of course he is with me when I'm alone. But when we come together in the name of Jesus Christ, two or more, as in the collective people, the body of Christ, and when we pray according to the will of the Father in heaven, not according to our will. What is the promise? What is the guarantee? It will be done when we pray in the power of the people. We participate with the people according to the perfect will of God. The promise is it will be done. So that's the first letter, P. What's the second letter? R. The letter R stands for recognize. The power of prayer is spelled P, participate, and the R is for recognize. Recognize what? Recognize God is sovereign. It's a really fancy word, but let me take you to the verse 24 in Acts chapter 4. We read it together. As they began praying, together with the people in one voice, in one accord, according to the will of God, and then they addressed God this way. Peter could have said, Father in heaven, hear our prayer, as Jesus taught them to pray, right? But he did not address God that way. He did not recognize God as our Father. Peter could have recognized God as the Lord, the God of Abraham, God of Jacob, but he didn't. Instead, he recognized God as the sovereign Lord. Sovereign. In the Greek language, it means there is no equal. Sovereign means the Lord is sovereign. It means that there is nothing. He has absolute power, absolute domination, absolute dominion over all things. He has no equal. He has no competition. And then nothing is too impossible, too hard for the sovereign King. So he, as we pray, we recognize God as what? He is sovereign. Let me take you to the verses. Peter and John, they began recognizing God as the sovereign King, sovereign Lord, and they go to creation. He said, sovereign Lord, you made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. Did you catch that? How powerful is God? He created everything on this earth, under the sea, above the sky, in the heavens. And the way he created everything is by his command. He simply said, this is Genesis 1, let there be light. And there was light. Why? Because God is sovereign over creation. He said, let there be a sky. And there was sky. It was so. Why? Because God is sovereign. God said, let there be creatures roaming on the earth. And it was so. Why? Because God has sovereignty over all creation. So we recognize God is sovereign. But Peter and John move on to from creation to history. Let me take you there. In verse 25, Acts chapter 4. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Now he's quoting Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together and against his anointed one. Peter is simply quoting two verses from Psalm 2. And if you read the entirety of Psalm 2, it is simply this. God has the supremacy over history. God is sovereign not only over the creation, but over history. The kings, the rulers, chief priests, the peoples of the earth, they rebel against God, but to no avail. Why not? Because God has sovereignty. He has supremacy. He rules over everything, even in our history. So he has sovereignty over creation, sovereignty over history, and then sovereignty of our affairs, our lives. Let me take you there. In verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. And listen to this, verse 28. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Question for you. Did Christ suffer and die because God, the sovereign King of the universe, willed it and decreed it? Yes. Or did Jesus, was he crucified and put to death because of the evil deeds of the rulers and the Romans and the Jewish people? Yes. Which is it? Well, it's yes. Both and. Now, I just want to remain really focused here. All you need to understand is this. When we make mistakes, when evil things are being done, when things don't go our way, when the world is coming to an end, when nothing is going right, even then, in the affairs of our lives, even then, God is what? Sovereign. It was God's will to bring something good about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was God's will and His power. He is so sovereign. He is so powerful. He has such dominion and domination over all things, creation, history, and our world and our affairs. He can bring something good. If God has the power to bring something good out of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, then He has the power to bring something good out of your own circumstances. Amen? Absolutely. Let me give you one example. The best example is this. In the Bible, this is Book of Genesis, Joseph, he experienced suffering. His brothers harmed him. His brothers did evil things to him. They sold him off as a slave to Egypt. And they lied to their father, saying, Joseph is dead. And all these bad things happened. Fast forward, Joseph, through the suffering, through the betrayal, and he was incarcerated in Egypt, he got betrayed yet once again, and he suffered for a long, long time. But at the end, God used all these evil things in his life, and then somehow, God raised Joseph as the prime minister of Egypt. Only next to the Pharaoh, he was the most powerful person in Egypt and in the entire world at the time. And this happened because God is sovereign. At the very end of the book of Genesis, the brothers come to Joseph after being saved. Okay, there was a great famine in the land, and everyone came to Egypt, and then they found food and shelter, and they found salvation there in the land of Egypt. Now, after that, the brothers said, hey, Joseph, would you please forgive us? Would you please do not repay us with the evil that we have done? And then here's what Joseph says. The evil you meant to harm me, God used them for good, for the salvation of many. You did evil things, but God is so powerful. He's so sovereign. He has the dominion and the domination and supremacy to make something good out of all this. Friends, let me just seal this. Recognize, when you pray, recognize God is sovereign. That's how you pray. So you receive the power of prayer. P stands for participate with God's people, pray together according to God's will, right? R, recognize God's sovereign. And what's the next letter? A. A stands for activate. Activate what? Activate obedience. Turn with me. Acts 4. Verse 29-30. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What were they facing? They were facing danger. They were facing threats. They were facing persecution, incarceration, and torture and even death, right? But what do they pray for? I would have expected, if I were them, I would have said, "Oh God, sovereign King, remove the threats, remove the obstacles, get rid of all this opposition," right? But that's not what they pray for. What do they pray for? They were warned, do not speak about Jesus Christ. And they pray for, Lord, sovereign King, give us boldness to speak the name of Jesus. This is amazing. And they were facing danger because they were being obedient to God, and they pray for more boldness to obey God. They activated obedience in their prayer. That is astounding. That is astounding. Let me ask it this way. Let me put it this way. What are you facing right now? What kind of obstacles are you facing? What kind of dangers and threats are you facing? Instead of praying, God, remove them from my life, we should pray, God, give us boldness. Here's a worthy quote that I found. Sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes God lets the storm rage and calms the child. Let me put it this way, one more time. Sometimes God has the power to calm the storm, remove the dangers, right? And sometimes God, instead of calming the storm, he lets the storm rage instead, and he would calm his child. I wonder, therefore, when you're facing all this hardship right now, I wonder if you and I are praying for the right thing. For example, the pandemic. Rather than praying, oh God, remove the pandemic, let it end, let it be over already. But instead, I think we should be praying, oh sovereign Lord, how may I glorify you right now? Instead of calming the storm, calm the baby, calm the child. As we wait for you to end the pandemic, what is your will for us now? How should we serve you? How should we serve others? How should we make impactful differences, make a difference in the lives of others in our spheres of influence? Right? Suppose you are praying for the right person, Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. But instead, I wonder, God's will is, rather than praying for, oh God, send me Mr. Right, oh God, send me Mrs. Right, instead, maybe God's will for you is, you become the Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. Maybe that's God's will. How is your character being changed? As you wait, rather than removing the storm, rather than removing the threats, what is God doing in you? Maybe you need a better job. Maybe you are unemployed. You need a livelihood. You got to provide for your family and for yourself. I wonder if rather than praying for, oh God, sovereign Lord, you have the power to give me a new job, better paying job. But instead, I wonder if God's will is, Lord, show me how to trust you now. Show me how to rely on you now. Show me how to be thankful to you right now. Remember, God can calm the storm, or he can calm the child. Prayer doesn't change God. It changes us, therefore. Prayer doesn't change God. It changes us. As we pray according to the will of God, we are becoming exactly whom God wants us to be. More trusting, more obedient, more at peace, experiencing joy, Prayer doesn't change God. God wants all these things for us already. So when we pray, it changes us. We are conforming to the very will of God. So, the power of prayer is spelled P, participate, R, to recognize, and A, activate, activate obedience, and the last letter is what? Y. Y stands for yield. Yield to God's presence. At the end, we read, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When the place was shaken, it refers to many other Bible passages. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, when the earth was shaking, when there was an earthquake, it was often associated with the epiphany, the presence of God. God came down and it was manifest in this shaking of the earth, earthquakes. God came down. They yielded to the presence of God. They recognize God is sovereign, and they activate obedience, and they participate praying together, and then at the end, they experience, they yielded to the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit came. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit because God came down. They yielded to the very presence of God. And what's the end game here? And they spoke boldly. Boldly in the name of Jesus. They spoke the word of God boldly. And you're going to find out in the next chapter, they got arrested for this. They got arrested. Exactly what they feared, and they got arrested. And they were bold. They received the power. Friends, remember this. When Jesus was crucified, as he breathed his last, in Matthew, you know what it says? The earth shook. But instead of God's presence coming down for Jesus, God's presence left Jesus. He became alienated. He suffered alone, loneliness, apart from God. And by that sacrifice, he is able to give us the very presence of God. You have, if you put the name of Jesus on your lips, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the filling of the Holy Spirit has been given to you, and God's presence is real. Believe it, believe it, believe it, and act upon it, act upon it. That's how you experience the power of prayer. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory. Help us to retain this power of prayer and help us to exercise it, utilize it, apply it to your glory, to your glory, and to the salvation of many. Hallelujah. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.